And then as far as the time, I don't want to go over time, but do we have a certain?
If you can wrap up at 10 o'clock.
Okay. All right. That'll be good. I'll take the watch off, put it around. Normally that wouldn't make any difference, but today I guess it probably should. So anyway, it's good to be here with all of you. My first School of Missions was last year, and I really enjoyed it and loved the concept. Never heard of it before. I'd like to see this go around the country, you know, churches in every city band together like this, because it's very valuable and very helpful. I learned a lot last year over at Leon Valley, Brother Burkholder, and heading it up, and then this year, Brother Riggs. M is for missions, as I mentioned last night, is just a way to get missionaries to the field. It's a little bit alternative income source, let's put it that way. We know the church is the one that sends out the missionaries, but, you know, there's ways that the missionaries can further their cause. So M is for missions is a way to do that. We send out 3 social media posts per week. We have a social media manager up in Arlington, Texas, at my home church, Trinity Baptist, where it's located. And so she'll send out these posts, and it may be a missionary quote, Hudson Taylor or something, or someone. And then that'll drive folks to the website where they can look on there, and they can see any of 36 Fundamental Independent King James missionaries that are on the website, and it continues to grow. And so if they like what they see on there, for instance, if they have a grandmother in Scotland, and they look on there, look under the country of Scotland, and they see Ethan Graham going to Scotland, hey, well, they could read about his bio, his photos, prayer needs, whatever he puts up there. And they say, well, I like that. And they can pull out a credit card or debit card, and right from their smartphone or laptop, they can support that missionary. Now, I need to say right off the bat that that is not for our churches, okay? Our churches, we already have missions programs. Many of us have Faith Promise. I know this church does. My church in Arlington has that. And our people give to that. And we send out missionaries with that those funds. So if someone comes to me and says, you know, I'm in a good church like this, and I'd like to support a mission, I'll say, well, make sure you support your Faith Promise first. Don't you take any money from there and put it over to this. So I do need to add that. And we knew that in the very beginning before this thing ever launched. We realized that was going to be potentially an issue, and we want to address that right up front. But there's people that are around the world that are not close to a good Fundamental Baptist church. Maybe they moved to a new area, and they're 100 miles away. And, you know, they just can't drive 100 miles, but they know they need to do something. And so they see those social media posts, they look at go to the website, look at it, and they can support their own missionary. Maybe it's an invalid, someone in a nursing home or something, and they're not able to attend church anymore. They maybe not can't even do a live stream, see live stream. So, but again, they know they need to support a missionary, get missionaries to the field. So that sort of segues into the topic that I want to talk about today is getting missionaries to the field faster. And, of course, that's, you know, I'll be talking about MS for Missions as part of that, but there's plenty of other ways that we can do that. You know, right off the bat, I just need to put a shameless plug for MS for Missions right there. So, well, let me begin by asking, how many of you are fishermen? Fisherwomen, fisher kids, whatever. You like fishing, okay? Well, I'm not a great fisher person. So probably that's one reason I don't go fishing too often. You know, if you like something, you probably are going to do more of it. Now, my younger brother was the fisherman in the family. He would go out, you know, when he was 14 years of age, walk down to the end of we used to live in Orlando, and he'd walk down to the end of the development. There was a lake down there and had fish, and he would go down and catch fish. And I remember he brought in one day, I think it was a 7-pound bass, maybe it was 10-pound, I don't know. It was a pretty good size, and he had the thing mounted, framed, put it on the wall. He was the fisherman in the family. My best fishing story is when I went to visit my cousin when I was 15 years of age. I lived in Nashville at the time, took a bus up to Roanoke, Virginia, went out and to my cousin's granddad's property where it was on Smith Mountain Lake up there, and he had a pier out there. And so we grabbed a bunch of fishing poles and went out there. One of the things we had that was really interesting was a pocket fisherman. I guess you'd call it a pocket fisherman or something that had it was just like a little reel type thing. It had the fishing line wrapped around it. It had a hook at the end. You'd put the hook there and you'd bait that hook. There was a cord at the other end of it, maybe about a 3 or 4 foot cord. You'd tie that to the dock or something firm, and you just let the thing, it had a spring on the inside. You pull that line out with the hook and just drop it in the water. We just dropped it right down beside the dock. And we had maybe 5 or 6 other fishing poles. And I think in about a 2-hour period, we caught like 23 fish. Now, for me, that was a lot, and that was my best fishing story. I don't think I've ever come even anywhere close to that since then, since age 15. But I'll tell you, if you've never done a pocket fisherman, it worked out great. You'd be fishing along with your regular pole, and all of a sudden you hear this, you know, you look down, oh, there's a fish, you know, automatic. So, boy, that's what I like. But today, let's just imagine that you're going fishing. Let's say you're going to drive up to the cool spring waters of the Mountain Fork River in eastern Oklahoma. Beautiful river that flows down near Arkansas, flows down into the Broken Bow Reservoir, the lake there. And by the way, that lake is stocked with, or at least the stream coming out of it, stocked with trout. If you like trout fishing, it's probably a good place to go. But let's say you're going there. Let's say you have a trip. It's a 460-mile trip. And you get in the car and you're just ready to go. And you get out there and you go up and it takes you, say, it takes you, like, say, if you're going 70 miles an hour, it might take you, 7.5 hours to get there. Now, if you want to get there sooner, and assuming that the speed limit works for you, or assuming you don't get stopped by a police officer, and you go 80, well, you're going to get there sooner. All right, maybe even up to an hour sooner. You know, if you get there sooner and you're going fishing, then you've got an extra hour to fish. That means probably you're going to catch more fish. It just only makes sense. Well, you know, that's the same thing as what we do here. You know, as Christians, we are supposed to go fishing. We're fishing for souls, of course. But the same thing applies. So if we can get missionaries to the field sooner, it's going to be a lot better for everybody, for them, for us, and for the folks that they're going to reach on the foreign field. I want to give you some examples here to get started. Colton Wyatt Lee and his family, they led about one soul to the Lord per month since they've been to the Solomon Islands in 2023. So it took them about 4 years to complete deputation. Now, what if they could have shaved off, say, 1 year of that? Well, based on that progress, if they had saved 1 year, and it's one per month, then that would have been an additional 12 souls that would have been saved in the Solomon Islands. Okay, every soul, of course, is precious. 12 souls, that's good. How about Noel Shrivenoth, family to Guyana? He said, in May through June 2024, there were 71 saved and 7 baptized in their ministry. Well, that translates to about 35 saved and 3 baptized per month. Now, when you figure that averages out to over 400, right, like about 420 annually, well, even if you could have saved 6 months, he could have shaved that off his deputation. You're still looking at over 200 saved, additional souls saved, just because the missionary was able to get there sooner. How about Kevin Wynn in Mexico City? Now, in May, his prayer letter, May of 2024, this year, he said 173,830 were saved in preaching services and 3,229 baptized. And that was just in his prayer letter. Now, how are you going to figure that one, okay? You're not. But the main thing is accelerating a missionary's deputation to the field is going to yield more souls saved on the field. You know, and some people might say, well, you know, a missionary should be winning souls on deputation as well. So it's really more of a wash. Well, you know, that is true in part. But at the same time, folks, we hear the gospel a lot more here in this country than most of the folks in Asia. In that 1040 window, they call it, where most of the folks have not heard of Christ or very rarely heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's the thing is that we need to get folks to the field sooner. We need to accomplish the Great Commission, and that's one way we can do that. Now, in our notebook, you'll see some things written down there. The current stats show that, by the way, I've got the answers there. If you don't like writing, then I don't worry about it. It's already there. But I like the blanks, too, because I like being able to write. It sort of helps keep you focused and so forth. So feel free to write in as well. But current stats show 39 months is the average deputation for the independent Baptist missionaries. Folks, that's way too long. Why does it take 39 months? Well, there's a number of reasons, but it doesn't really have to. So let's take a look into Scripture and see what the Bible says about getting missionaries to the field sooner. 3 John verses 6 through 8, specifically verse 6 says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. And bringing forward on their journey is what we're talking about today. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of seeing your word and learning your word and then obeying your word. Please help us to learn some things today that can help people worldwide, souls that we'll never see, until we get to heaven one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alrighty. So what does the Bible say about sending missionaries? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Who goeth a warfare at any time against his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock?" You know, God's teaching is very specific, very explicit. There are many examples of this principle being practiced throughout the scriptures. And, I mean, how should missionaries receive financial support? God has a way. And biblically, there's only really one answer, and that's as the Lord commanded. That's those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. So says 1 Corinthians 9:14. "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." You know, God's hardworking missionaries should live according, be financially supported by God's exceedingly blessed people, and that's the church and Christians. So let's take a look at the financial aspect of getting missionaries to the field faster. You know, every month that goes by while a missionary is still on stateside on deputation, precious dollars are consumed. It takes a lot of money to do deputation. You ask some of these missionaries, Jason, you know, Mary, Brother Cobb. A missionary who goes to the field after 2 years on deputation saves considerable dollars versus one who takes 3 years to complete the process. And the average cost per missionary on deputation is nearly $188,000 to complete that deputation process. So it only makes sense that if we could shorten that, shave off even 6 months, both the missionary and their supporting churches could save over $30,000 that the missionary would normally spend on deputation. Now, that might be 8 or 10 churches. I don't know what it would be supporting that missionary monthly, but those monies could be spent better in better ways. So why would we get a missionary to the field sooner? Well, we know it costs less if we can do that. Other than that, and seeing more souls saved, there are some other good reasons for getting a missionary to the field sooner. One thing is the mighty power of the Word of God. God says, "Where the word of a king is, there is power." Ecclesiastes 8:4. And in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." You know, there's incredible power in the word of God, and God wants his word published throughout the world so that this enormous power can affect people positively for the Lord and for the future. So the mighty power of the Word of God. How about the mighty changing power of the Word of God? It changes hearts. Hey, it changed my heart. You know, I was just a young man, single man, 18, 19, 20, going through college and just living in sin and doing my own thing. And God had to get me to Texas to get me saved. But finally, when I was 23 and heard the gospel, heard a clear presentation and realized, this is something I need to get settled right now. Even though I already believed in God and Jesus Christ. Well, hey, so does the devil. Okay, I didn't think about that part, I guess. But it changes hearts, a mighty changing power of the Word of God. And then the incredible action accomplished by God's Word when someone hears or reads. It works in that fleshly heart like mine. God worked in my heart to allow me to realize that I need to get saved and get it saved, get it settled that night. That was that Friday night. So it works in the fleshly heart. It gives one new life. You know, being saved is so simple. It's such a quick operation. You know, you talk to the Lord. You simply pray a short prayer. Brother Steve Andrus was here. I don't know if he's here today or not. He was here the other day. Is he here? Brother Steve, okay. And he and I were talking the other day, and this man has led hundreds, if not thousands, to the Lord Jesus through that fair ministry. That he said, we just talked about the Dallas Fair just recently, 379 people saved in just a 3-week period, okay? It's getting the Word of God out. It gives one new life. These people receive new life in just a short time, coming into a little booth, having someone like Steve sit down there and open the King James Bible with them and explain the precious gospel. And then it gives one faith to believe in God and to grow in the Lord. You know, you get saved, it takes about that much faith, I explain to people, to get saved. Do you believe Romans 10:13? Do you believe that? Okay. And you understand the other parts that go into it, but you believe it? Yes. Okay. That's the amount of faith it believes to get saved. It takes to get saved. Now, of course, we grow in faith after that, Romans 10:17. But, you know, another thing is that a lot of people just don't know. They just don't know about the Lord. You know, we're so richly blessed here in this country. you know, especially if you're in a good soul winning church. But even if you're not, you're probably going to hear something about it on the radio, the TV, a billboard. I love these billboard signs, you know, what God says is true, you know, or something, or, you know, God loves the babies in the womb, or, you know, any number of things. You see those things. People see that here, but so many people don't know. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not. They still do. They still have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame, so says God. And God also wants all these things to happen in the life of every believer on the planet. God wants to work in lives that, using the mighty power of the Word of God, but we've got to get it out for it to happen. Amen. You know, the sooner a missionary gets to the field, the sooner lost souls know about God and His love for him. The sooner souls gain eternal life, the sooner a missionary gets to the foreign field, in any field, the sooner lives are changed. The sooner that hope and joy is infused in those lives, the tribes, the villages. Now, sooner new churches are started, new Bible institutes are started, colleges, training institutes, the sooner God calls converts to serve Him, the sooner graduates can thrust out and start new churches, and the sooner new missionaries can be sent. It's like a domino effect. I was looking at some of these, I don't know how it came up, but domino things on YouTube. There's these incredible structures that people are building these days at domino. I mean, you're talking about 12, 15 foot high structure out of dominoes. I don't know how they do it. And then they just click that one domino and just everything just starts going. The whole thing just collapses down. It's just really incredible. That's what we're talking about here. It's like a domino effect. All right, so if you turn your next page in your workbook, what can the missionaries do themselves? You know, missionaries can do a lot of things to get to the field faster. And one of those is considering family and friends. And I think probably most missionaries do that. Most missionaries also have a website or some online presence. They can email, they can text to a family member, a friend, someone that they're close to. One of our missionaries on the Emma's for Missions platform, he has $1,500 a month coming in from family. I mean, that's just from people that he knows that love him, that are close to him. Wow, that's great. I mean, that's totally separate from Amos for Missions, but I'm just talking about that is, we, you know, getting the word out to people that you already know is so key. Yeah, missionaries continue to, they need to continue down the road of fervent deputation, but family members are some of the closest people, and most of the time these folks want to do something. They want to invest in your life and in your ministry, and so don't neglect alternative sources of income. The second thing is send a prayer letter to every supporter. You write these prayer letters, you spend the time to do it. You tell of, you know, what God's been doing in your life. And some people may want to pray, actually pray for you. And they get a prayer letter, and you know, a lot of times a prayer letter will remind me to pray for that person. Sometimes I just need a memory jog. Oh, I need to pray. Oh, I haven't prayed for them in a while. And so it can even serve that purpose. But it keeps the communication lines open. And maybe some of them, even though they may not support you right now, they might support you later. So. Another thing is use mass emailing to fill your schedule. You know, the missionaries of the 1970s and 1980s just didn't have this incredible tool called email. What's email? Email, you know, electronic mail, whatever. You know, and so, well, that came about. And some of you young people, you know, that's all you've known. Well, one missionary started the first 3 months of deputation calling churches, and he booked a total of only 3 meetings. 3 meetings in 3 months? Doesn't sound like a lot to me. Well, then he caught on to using mass emailings, and within 1 week, he filled an entire year by sending out 10,000 emails. Now, if you know anything about sending out group emails, that's not a big deal. There's tools you can use to, you know, load a database, you know, an Excel spreadsheet or whatever, and you can just send it out. Just click of a button. But he filled an entire year in a week. That's amazing. As Brother Jason mentioned yesterday, let's use the power of the tools that we have available to us today. Now, here's another thing that some might consider is buying or renting a motorhome. Some already do this, but a missionary can save a lot of money by getting into a good motorhome. You know, if you get one of these over-the-cab models or maybe a fifth-wheel thing, or you don't really have to worry about the upkeep of two different vehicles, that's a plus. But, you know, you can really save a lot of money by cooking your own meals. You've got your own facility right there. You've got a little kitchen. type thing. Not having to stay in hotel rooms every night, you know, is really amazing. And not to mention the privacy. A motorhome affords a lot of privacy that the next door doesn't have in a hotel. You know, and not having to live out of a suitcase can really help your sanity as you travel from church to church. So a good motorhome. How about good relationships, building good relationships? You know, also good at using a good motorhome enables you to build relationships in a much deeper way. Here's a good plan to follow if you don't already do this, but if you're especially in a motorhome, if you have a Sunday meeting, call and ask the pastor if you could arrive and hook up maybe on Thursday, several days before. Now, if you have a Wednesday meeting, ask if you can arrive on Monday. And see, that way you can spend those extra days soul winning, working around the church, helping the pastor do something he's been wanting to do for 6 months, but nobody's been able to do it or had the time to do it. When it comes time to take on new missionaries, who's the pastor going to think up first? The guy that showed up 30 minutes before the meeting and left right afterwards, or the guy that's been around a couple, 3 days helping out in a big way? So build those relationships. Another thing is, don't go to the field with too little support. Now, we want to get them to the field sooner, but we want to get them to the field supported as well. You know, once you get to full support as a missionary, continue to receive that donor support while you're getting your travel plans in order. If you need visas, you know, any of the requirements that it takes for you to get over to your field. Because if your support level's too low, you might have to come back to the United States early. And that's really going to defeat your purpose in trying to get there too early. Another thing is, think about working 8 hours a day to schedule your meetings. You know, if you're going to get your support, it's not going to come very fast by being lazy. Well, let's just put it that way. Okay? I mean, folks that are working jobs producing income, they're working probably 8 hours a day if they're working a full-time job, maybe more. But why should that be any different from us? Another thing is, join a mission-sending organization, such as MS for Missions, to raise additional support for you in the background. And what that'll do is that'll save you some time and money and allow you to gain more support while you're doing other church presentations. When I do two things at once, so I like that. Let these organizations work for you. Now, what can laymen do? Well, laymen can do a lot of things for a missionary. Oh, number one is pray. We talk about that. But are we doing it? You know, I don't pray for missionaries like I should. I guarantee you that. I need to do more of that. I need to be reminded of that. But regularly pray for missionaries and share specific prayer requests with them. And then keep them updated on progress and pray for their safety while on their deputation. And pray that they'll be able to complete that deputation when they're expecting to complete it, maybe even earlier. Earlier is even better. Another thing is, provide financial support. This is another thing that laymen can do. And then, please definitely be involved in your church missions program. Faith Promise, whatever it might be. Here, Faith Promise. Do that. But search out missionaries on mission websites if you want to pray for them, if you want to help them in some ways. M is for Missions is a good one. Macedonia World Baptist Missions, Baptist Mid Missions, Eurasian Baptist Mission. These are all, and there are many, many others, but you can find other folks to support that if you don't know a missionary or would like to support someone different. But again, please do it over and above what your current, don't take money from one pot and move it to the other. Please don't. That's not what we're talking about here. Of course, the thing is, it gives you a greater heart for missions. If you can communicate with an individual missionary, send them a birthday gift, a financial gift or something, or an anniversary gift, Christmas gift financially, just sending them a note. Those are some things there. Another thing is, read the newsletters, read the prayer letters that come out, the missionaries. You actually read them. This church here has, look at all the missionaries that are supported in the countries supported there. Our church used to have prayer letters listed. I think we have them in a book now. So it's if you're not looking for the book, you're probably not going to be reading it as much. But sometimes those prayer letters come through email, and it's easier to read to me. But read those prayer letters. How about adopting a missionary? What's wrong with a Sunday school class saying, hey, we're going to take up change offering every week for a year and then just give it to a missionary? And then just choose one of your existing missionaries in your church. I know it would be a blessing to them. And then stay connected. Just stay in touch with them. You know, when they come to your church, oh, I've been praying for you lately. Or I saw you did this in your prayer letter. Something like that. Well, what about churches? What can churches do? Well, churches are already doing a lot of things. Many churches are. Churches can search out new missionaries that they want to support by the way of some of these websites. AM is for missions. Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. Other mission-oriented websites. This approach also works if you're looking for missionaries to invite to your missions conferences. Just go out to one of the websites and look for some of these folks here. And usually there's some contact information. You can reach them through that. And another thing is prayer. Churches as a whole can pray for their missionaries. Maybe pray for them during the Sunday services. Now, our church, we produce a prayer letter or a prayer list once a week, and we have it available for folks that come in the door and getting ready for the service, and they can look down there. Now, it doesn't include all of our missionaries, but it includes a portion of them, and so we rotate that portion through the different weeks, and folks can see those names and the countries they're going to and keep them in touch with them through prayer. Another thing is financial support. Many churches already support missionaries, support many missionaries. But here's one thing also, if you don't already do this as a pastor, consider supporting missionaries out of your church at a higher level. I know our church, we support missionaries at a level, but if they're sent out of our church, we support them at a greater level for that. So, I mean, they're our own missionaries, so hey, why shouldn't we care for them more? But, you know, another reason to support any missionary at a higher level, and this includes folks not even out of your church, is because the reason is that $50 in 1990 will buy about $19 plus today. It's that bad. $100 will apply. Yeah, it's worth about $39 and something, some odd cents today. So consider that. Consider the support level. Hospitality. A lot of churches offer generous hospitality to missionaries. I know this church does. I appreciate the room. Great. The basket. Some of you folks put together a basket, you ladies, Miss Darlene and others. The mission store, I mean, that's great. These are some things that can really meet needs in the life of a missionary. Buying a meal or two. Boy, you guys feed us so well. I'm thinking, man, I've got to hit the gym when I go back, and I detest gyms. You know, so I've got to figure out something to do afterwards. But, you know, anything we can do, prophets' chambers, anything we can do to lower the cost for a missionary so that they can get to the field faster is a wonderful thing. How about updates? You know, churches often post prayer letter updates in visible areas. And as a new update comes in, whether it's through email or if the church posts it, you get to see updates from the mission field. So, you know, there's a lot of things churches, individuals, and even missionaries can do to get the missionary to the field sooner. You know, the sooner the missionary gets to the field, the more souls will be saved. The more souls saved, on average, on the foreign field, the more soul winners will be trained and preachers called and surrendered to preach the gospel. It's just that simple. The more witnessing on the field, the more are going to be saved, and then the cycle just repeats itself over and over and again. So what can missionaries do to speed up their arrival on the field? We've already talked about a number of those today. There's some things missionaries can do, but also there's some things that laymen can do, starting with prayer, but there's plenty of other things laymen can do as well. Some of you just attending a good missions conference like this as a layman, that's a wonderful thing. You get to be educated on what some of the missionary needs are. You might be able to get a burden for missions yourself. You might even be called. God might even call you to go to the mission field and you surrender. What can churches do to shorten the deputation process? Even though some churches are doing a lot for missions already, there's other things that churches can do. And we've talked about those today. But the point is, there's so much we can do for God's precious message carriers, and that's the missionary. So let's expand our reach throughout the world by assisting them however and wherever we can. And the sooner we can get them there, the sooner souls are going to be reached in those lands that you and I may never see and probably won't see. I don't know that I'll ever see India. I mean, talk about a mission field. Over a billion people in that place. China, same thing. So incredible, wonderful. But there's some things that we can do there, and it can really help not only the missionary, but also the people that they're going to reach by just, you know, you go on a fishing trip, you travel at a faster rate of speed, you're going to get there sooner, and you can catch more fish. But the same thing's true with us. You know, the sooner we can get a missionary to the foreign field, the more souls that we can catch. And the more souls that will be, rewards are going to be added to your account. Because you prayed, because you gave, and because you supported your church's mission program. and you had a heart, you had a greater heart for missions. That's one of the great things about a missions conference. It can give you a greater heart for missions and the need for missionaries. You know, missionaries have needs that you and I will never know. We hear some of them at conferences like this, but there's some things that, you know, people just don't share. But your prayer can make such a vital difference. Thank you for all you do. All the churches that are represented here, Town East and the others. Thank you for all you do for missionaries, and thank you for what you're currently doing. Please think about these things as we look at, we know Jesus is coming soon. What can we do between now and that time to get these missionaries to their destination faster than 39 months on deputation? Amen. Folks, it's just too long. God bless. Thanks so much. Amen.